Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Lamed Hey. We are holding on Daf Lamed Dalet on Beis, the last few words of the page. Vayashuvu Misur Mitur Haaretz. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'il Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La'ashalom. We so appreciate his continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi. We appreciate anybody sponsoring the Daf Yomi. We thank Dr. Landerer for the continued sponsorship. Today what we're going to discuss is the following. We're going to continue to discuss the Meraglim, the story of the Meraglim, and how they managed to get everybody to listen to them, even though they were saying something bad, and how Kalev managed to get everybody to listen to him, even though they were going to not react well to him arguing on all of the Meraglim, and what exactly the content of their bad report was, and why it is that Kodesh Baruch Hu, they weren't telling total lies, why it is that Kodesh Baruch Hu caused those things that they say happened to actually happen. Then the Gemara is going to talk a little bit about the rest of the crossing of the Yarden, which included the Aron transporting those who were carrying the Aron over the Yarden. The Aron lifted and flew them over the Yarden. So that's going to lead us into a brief discussion of the kavod that one is supposed to show the Aron, and how Uzzah was punished for trying to catch the Aron when it was being transported and it looked like it was going to fall. We're going to discuss how David HaMelech was punished in a certain sense for referring to the Divrei Torah as a zimra, as a song, because Divrei Torah are not just songs. Then the Gemara is going to also discuss, after it talks more about transporting the Aron, it's going to discuss how they wrote the entirety of the Torah on stones. Did they write it directly on the stone and then plaster over it, or did they first plaster the stones and then write the Torah on it, and what the purpose of that was, and how that's going to be a major problem for the Umos HaOlam who don't learn Torah, because they should learn Torah since they had access to the Torah that was written on the stones. So now the Gemara is going to, so let's begin three lines from the bottom of the page on Daf, three words from the end of the page rather, on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Bey. So we're explaining what's going on with the Meraglim. Vayashuvu mitora aretz, that they returned from scouting out the land. Vayelchu vayavau, l'chara, the word vayelchu is extra, because after it says vayashuvu mitora aretz mikitz arbaim yom, it doesn't have to write vayelchu, just vayavau el Moshe. They returned and they came to Moshe. What's vayelchu? They went and they came to Moshe. So Rabbi Yochum, Mishum Rabbi Shum ben Yochai, Rabbi Yochum quotes Rabbi Shum ben Yochai, Makish Halicha Levia, that the we equate their going out on this journey of being Meraglim to scout out the land to their return. Ma Bia Beitzara, just like upon their return, it was obviously with bad thoughts in mind to be Motzi Laz on Eretz Yisrael, so Af Halicha, so too already at the time that they went to go scout out the land, Beitzara, it was already with the plan of being Motzi Laz on Eretz Yisrael. The Chizkuni on the Pasuk says, but wait, don't Chazala Vidrasha, Kulam Anashim tells us that they're all Chashuvim, that they're all Ksherim Ba'os Hasha'a. So how can you say that they went with a bad plan if they were Kulam Anashim, if they were all Ksherim? He says, no, Kulam Anashim is when Moshe appointed them, but already by the time they left on the mission, by that time already they had soured, and their plan was to be Motzi Laz on Eretz Yisrael. The Archaim HaKadosh points out that the Pasuk is letting us know that they had soured already on the way there, because we do have a principle of Shluchei Mitzvah and Nizakin. So how could it be that Shluchei Mitzvah are going to do something like that? So apparently our Chaim HaKadosh understands Shluchei Mitzvah and Nizakin is not only that nothing physically bad is going to happen to them, but Nizakin, that they're not going to be spiritually harmed. So how could they have suffered such spiritual harm on the way to do a mitzvah? Elamai, that's why the Torah has to tell us that they were already not Shluchei Mitzvah by the time they set out on their journey. So Vaisapu Lova Yomru Banu. So the Pasuk says, they said, Banu Lazarshachtanu, and it's Avaschal Vadvash, and Vizapiria, they demonstrated the fruits, as we saw, 10 Meraglim carrying fruits, 8 of them carrying the cluster of grapes, and 1 carrying the Rimon, and 1 carrying the Teina. So, and all of that was Divrei Emes, Uksiv, and then the next, the continuation of the Pasukim says, Efes ki azom, that it's very strong in the Aram Bitsuras Kedolos and Yilidei Anok that we saw there, and all of that is Divrei Laz. So it started out something very positive, and then it turned into this terrible Lashon Hara. Some Rabbi Yochanan, so Mishum Rameir, Rabbi Yochanan says Nimra Meir, the Gemara gives a simon over here, simon MS Levado Levaya. So yesterday I was preparing the daf. I actually got to prepare a little bit yesterday, and I couldn't figure out what in the world is this simon. I was looking through the rest of the daf. I didn't see MS I get, but Levado Levaya, well, where in the world is that? So you look in the back of the Gemara, a lot of the Mefarshim point out, the Cheshek Shlomo and the Rashash and Rizk Izachaver, that these simonim are different statements of Rabbi Yochanan and Nimra Meir throughout the Masechta. So on this daf, you're not going to find them all. MS is the one that's written on this daf about the Meraglim started off with Divrei MS. Levado relates to a Gemara we're going to have in a week from now on Mem Beis Amud Beis, and Levaya is going to be on Mem Vav Amud Beis. So the Achronim raised the question that, wait, if we're trying to identify every statement of Yochanan says in Nimra Meir, on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, in tomorrow's daf, there's another statement that he says in Nimra Meir. How come that's not included? So there are basically two approaches. One is change the names of who it was, that it wasn't Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Meir, it was Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi. That's the Rashash's approach. And the Cheshek Shlomo's approach is add it to the simon, that there's got to be another word in the simon. Okay, but that's what the simon is about. So anyway, Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rameir, Rabbi Yochanan teaches Nimr Rameir, Kol Lashon Hara, She'ein Bo Dvar Emes B'Tchilas, She'ein Bo Dvar Emes B'Tchilaso. Anytime you have Lashon Hara where it doesn't start with Dvar Emes, Ein Miskayim B'Sofo, it's not going to have any standing. No one's going to listen. No one's going to believe it. So you have to start with some truth in order to build some credibility, and once you have that credibility, then people are going to listen to the rest of it as well. So then the pasuk says, "Vayas kolei v'sam elosha." So Gemara darshins Amar Rava sheisisim b'dvarim, that he managed to quiet them down by speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu and making it sound like he was going to say something negative. Pasuk Yoshua dekamishtai, he saw that Yoshua wanted to respond right away to what the Meraglim were saying. So Amilei, they said to Yoshua, "Dein rosh ketia yamalal." What, this guy with the cut off head, he's going to speak. So they immediately disrespected and denigrated Yoshua and made it as if no one should listen to what this guy's going to say. He's a guy walking around with a cut off head. So Kalev realized that if he's Amar imishteina, if I try to speak, Amri bimilsav chasmanli, and they'll do the same thing to me. They'll just discredit me. They'll say that I'm a nobody, and then I won't be able to say anything. So a couple of things over here. First of all, what kind of insult is this to Yoshua that he has a cut off head? So Rashi writes, "Ein lo banim," that he doesn't have any children. So what? Since when that ein lo banim? So Rashi says, "No, ein lo banim lachnisam laaretz." He has no stake in this because he has no kids to worry about that are going to get killed when they go into Eretz Yisrael. So he's not worried about it. He has no family to think of. But we who are family people, we have to think of the future of our family. The Yad Eliyahu explains that the lashon of Rosh Ketiyah is based on what the Gemara in Ksuba says, that there's such a family called Mishpachas Durkiti. Durkiti means a family where the women don't have damnida and therefore they're unable to have children. And it's called Durkiti because it's Dor Katua. Katua means cut off. It means that the generations are cut off. So over here also, Rosh Katua means that he doesn't have any further generations. The Marsha asks, and it's not Mistaver, that Yeshua didn't have children at that time. And he says, the Gemara must be, based on what we said in, previously, that Yeshua was not sent B'tzivay Hashem. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu added the Yud to Yeshua's name. That's what the Marsha explained earlier. Why did Moshe give only to Yeshua, to Kai Yoshiach HaMeatz Ragun, not to the rest of them? Because the rest of them were chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu chose Yoshua to be his representative there. So Yoshua needed a little extra siyata d'shmaya because he wasn't chosen by Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu added the Yud. So the Ragun discredited him by saying, this guy, he wasn't even really one of the originals. He was like an add-on that was just put in there by Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's what they referred to him. Katia means the letter that's cut off. That the Yud is a very short letter that's cut off at the bottom. That's how the Marsha explains. The other problem with that, with Rashi, is that the Gemara Megillah says that, yeah, in Ochinami, the Gemara Megillah Yudal says, Yoshua didn't have any sons, but he had daughters, and they get a chelek chelik in Eretz Yisrael. We learn from Bnei Slavcha that the daughters get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael if someone has daughters. So how could that be that they say, oh, he's not worried about his descendants because they don't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael anyway? So the Mincha Chareva, he says, yeah, this was before the Maisa of Bnei Slavcha. They didn't know that yet. So they didn't realize that the daughters are going to get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And then the final issue over here, the Ben Yoyada, raises the question that Kalev says, oh no, if they said that about Yoshua and they discredited him as in whatever way, that he doesn't have children, that he's just an add-on, you know, that what are they going to, they're going to do the same to me. Well, Kalev, what could they say about you? Meaning none of those things are true about you. So what exactly is the weakness of Kalev? So Ben Yoyada says, they're going to say that when I snuck off to Hebron, I probably made a deal with the giants there, that if I bring Klal Yisrael in so that they could squash them, then I'm going to get something, you know, I'll get half of the land or something. So they're going to say that that's what I was off doing when I went to Hebron. So Amr Lahen, Chizubul Vad Asalanu Ben Amram. So Kalev started his speech. He said, is this the only thing that Ben Amram did for us? So Savru Begnusik HaMishtai, they immediately thought he was going to say something not nice about Moshe Rabbeinu. What gave them the impression that he was going to say something not nice about Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Mizrahi on the Pasuk says, because he called him Ben Amram. Hey, that's a zilzal to call him not by his name. He should have said Moshe Rabbeinu. But by calling him Ben Amram, that's an indication. You know, in the, if you look in the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh, the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh is a whole conversation between Yonasan and Shaul about where David is. David didn't show up to the Rosh Chodesh Seuda, and Shaul was all upset. Where's David? And Yonasan's defending David, and David is mentioned like a bunch of times in that Haftorah, except sometimes he's called Ben Yishai, and sometimes he's called David. And it's not random. Every time Shaul refers to him, it's Ben Yishai. Every time Yonasan refers to him, it's David. Because when you respect someone and you love someone, you call them by their name. Otherwise, you don't want to mention their name. So you have Ben Amram. So Shaul didn't like David at that point. He wasn't getting along so well with David, to put it mildly. So he would call him Ben Yishai. So over here also, Kalev is saying, Ben Amram, so that's the indication that he was going to say something not nice. So Ishtiku, so everyone said, oh, let's listen to what he has to say. Sarma Lahu. So then he started piling on the praise. Hotzianu Mitzrayim, v'karlanu Asayam, v'chilanu Asaman. He took us out of Mitzrayim, and he split the sea for us, and he fed us the man. If he were to ask the world of us, if he were to ask us to make ladders to climb up to Shemayim, shouldn't we listen to him? Alona of Yerashnosa. So let's go into Eretz Yisrael and let's conquer the land as we are supposed to. So then the pasuk says, after Kalev made his speech, they said, we can't, it's not possible. So Gemara explains, they're saying something much more impactful and much more terrible than it sounds like. Because we could darshan, ki chazaku mimenu, al tikri mimenu, ela mimenu. That's a little bit of a funny line. What do you mean, al tikri mimenu, ela mimenu? It's the same word. So what it means is, don't say mimenu b'lashon rabim, but rather mimenu is b'lashon yachid. So apparently you could say al tikri, this is the way some of the mefarshim explain, you could say al tikri even if it's the same exact word and it reads exactly the same way. But we're saying, don't understand it to be b'lashon rabim, that they are stronger than all of us, but understand it b'lashon yachid, that they are stronger than kaviyachal, afilu balabayis, enu yachalotzi kelev misham. That they're saying that, that as if the Balabais himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is unable to rearrange the furniture in his own home, that he's unable to remove these giants, these people that are inhabiting Eretz Yisrael, in order to allow us entry into to Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi takes away the gears of Altik Mimenu Al Mimenu, because there's no difference in the Kriya of Mimenu Mimenu, and that's what Tosfos writes in Maseches Arachin as well. There are those that have girsa, she gets this quote, girsa al tikri mimenu ela miyamino, meaning miyamino shel Hashem, the right hand of Hashem. And then Shidugvetsa says, what is probably the Pashup Shad, according to this Girsa, is that you could say Al-Tikri, even though it's read the same way, and there's no change in the way you read it, because it means something else. We're saying, don't read it to mean in the plural, read it to mean in the singular as well. So the Gemara continues, Darshan, the pasuk. So the Meraglim say, Eretz Ocheles Yeshvehi. It is a land that consumes its inhabitants. So Darash Rava, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu said about the Meraglim, Ani Chashavti Alitova. When I gave them the impression that it consumes its inhabitants, I was doing them a favor. Vehem Chashvu L'Ra'a. But they misinterpreted it and thought that it was a bad thing. Ani Chashavti Alitova Dekalech Dematu Meis Chashiva Dedu. That wherever they went, a chashva person died in that place. And my intention in doing that was that it should keep the people busy, and they're not going to pay attention to these strangers that had just walked into their land. So they won't pay any attention to the Meraglim. That was the favor I did them by keeping them busy. The Ikadamri, others dash in the pasuk, that the Meraglim said, Eretz Ocheles Yeshveha, not that wherever they went, people died. One person died. Iyov nach nafshei. Iyov died at that time, v'tridu kuli alma b'aspeda, and he was such a chashva person that everyone was busy with the hesped of Iyov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that so that the zechus of Iyov shouldn't protect Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rashi writes. That dafka he made sure that the greatest tzaddik there and tzaddikim have a protective power over the land that they're in, like we see by Sodom, that had they had tzaddikim, Sodom would have been destroyed. So tzaddikim have such a power, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the protective power of Iyov. And he says that's what when he says Yasar Tzila Me'aleihem, that's what it means, that their tzel, their shade, their protective power was taken from them. And this is Rav Lishitaso, because in Masechet Babasra, the Mishnah point out, in Babasra Daf Tezvav, it says that Iyov was B'yemei Moshe, according to Rava. It's Machlokas, when Iyov lived. So if you hold, Iyov was B'yemei Moshe, it makes sense that this would be around the time that Iyov died. The Mincha Sota, though, says, wait a second, there's something's off over here. Because it turns out that Iyov died at that time. He says that, according to Rashi, Iyov died at that time in order that his zechus should not save all the people there. But the Gemara says that he died, that whoever just died was to keep them busy, was to distract them from the Meraglim. So which one is it? So he says, no, you need both reasons. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wanted that his Zuchiyah shouldn't protect them, then he could have killed the Iyov way earlier. And if it was just that there shouldn't be Trudim, he could have killed any Tsar, any major important person, any Chashuv. Why would it have to be Iyov? So you need both reasons. But he says, still I have a problem. Because in 40 days, one person died, that distracted everybody the entire time? Meaning that's considered, forget about that distracted, that would be considered Eretz Ocheles Yeshveha? That we were there, and there was a Levaya. I mean, there's a Levaya every day in a country. If it was only one person that died, how could you say that it's an Eretz Ocheles Yeshveha? And also, Iyov was in one part of the land. He wasn't everywhere. He was one person. So why is it that wherever they went, there were Hespedim wherever they went? So he suggests that Iyov was so chashuv, and therefore everywhere they went, the people were being misabel on him. And the Meraglim didn't chap that it was only one death. They thought that the people are being misabel wherever we go. It must be that people are dying wherever we go. They didn't realize that it was only one person that died, and he was just so important that they were being maspered everywhere. And that explains why, if people actually were dying all over the place, you could understand why the Meraglim would think that it's an Eretz Ocheles Yoshveh. But they should have paid attention to the Hespedim, and they would have heard that it was all over, it was all about one person. Okay, so now the Gemara continues to dash on the Pesukim. V'nihi be'einenu kechagavim, v'cheinayinu, the Pesuk continues, be'einehem. That we felt like grasshoppers, and they saw us like grasshoppers. So Amar Masharshim, Meraglim Shakri Havu. You see, from this Pesuk, it's a raya that there are a bunch of shakranim. I understand they could describe how they feel, that we felt like we were a bunch of little grasshoppers in comparison to these giants. But that's what we were in their eyes. How would they know how they were viewed in the eyes of these giant people? Velohi says, well, it's not a raya that they're liars. It could be that they knew it. How did they know? Because when they were going to do Sudas Havra'ah, because, as we said, there was Avelus everywhere. So part of Avelus is you have a Sudas Havra'ah, and apparently that was Nahug already even by non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael at that time. So they were giving Suda Savra to Siarz Yavim Mavri. They would do the Suda Savra under these big cedar trees. V'chichazinu, and the Meragim saw these giants coming to have their meals under the cedar trees. Sulkli Yasu V'ilani. They climbed up the trees to sit and hide in the trees. And Shami Dekamri, they heard the people sitting under the trees saying, Kachazina Ninchi Didamu Lekamtsi B'ilani. That way, I saw the strangest thing they were saying to each other. I saw these little people that looked like grasshoppers in the trees. You ever see an animal that looks like a little grasshopper, looks like a person, or a person looks like a grasshopper? We saw such creatures in the trees. So they realized that they looked like grasshoppers. Vatisa kala'eda v'yitnus kala v'yivku. So they cried out that night, that when the Meraglim brought back this Diba. So Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Osa Yom Erev Tishbav Haya. That happened to have been Erev Tishbav. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hein Bachu B'chiyah Shel Chinam. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, they're crying, the B'chiyah Shel Chinam, they're crying for nothing, because it's really a very wonderful land. V'aniyak V'lam B'chiyah L'doros. I'm going to make this day, the anniversary of this day, a B'chiyah L'doros, that both Batei Mikdash are going to be destroyed, Dafka, on the anniversary of that date, on Tishbav. The Iyun Yaakov points out, it's obvious that it's not saying that the Midut Pranus is so strong that only because of that cry we lost both Batei Mikdash and we had all the Galios, because the Galios was for many, many reasons. It's just that Tala HaKalkal B'yom HaKulkal, that Kodesh Baruch Hu arranged it, that which was going to happen anyway happened on that day, because that day was Muchal Neparanus. So things land where they're supposed to land, but it was supposed to happen anyway because of our other Averos that earned us those Chorbanos. So the Gemara continues darshaning the Pesukim. So after the Meraglim tell the Lashon Hara, Yeshua and Kalev come back and tell Bnei Yisrael that no, it's a good land and they have nothing to worry about. So then the Pasuk says, Vayomru Kaleido Lirgumosam Ba'avanim. When Yeshua and Kalev say nice things about Eretz Yisrael and try to encourage the people, they're ready to stone them. Uksiv Kvor Hashem Nira Ba'ol Moed. And the Pasuk says, the Kvor Hashem is Nira Ba'ol Moed. So Gemara Darshan, Amar B'chia Baraba, from the fact that it says, Vayomru Kaleida and Ukvor Hashem, right next to each other, they're juxtaposed with each other, so you see that they took stones and they wanted to stone HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol. That's the Kvod Hashem was where they were really throwing the stones. That's where they were aiming their stones. That's the second time already on this stuff that we see that the real target was the Ribono Shel Olam. Chazaku Mimenu was the Ribono Shel Olam. Is really to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vayemusa Anashim Motziyei Dibas Haaretz Ra'a B'Magefa. Lefnei Hashem, the Pasuk says they died from Magefa. So Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, not just any Magefa, Shemesu Misa Meshuna. They died in Misa Meshuna. Amar Rabbi Chanin Bar Papa, Dorish Rabbi Shila Ish Kfar Tamarta Melamit Shenishtarbev Lashonam. Their tongues grew long. V'Nafal Al Tiburam, and went all the way down to their belly buttons. Vayutolaim Yotzo. And these worms came out of their tongues and went into their bellies, and vice versa, their tongues became a bridge for these worms to go back and forth from their stomachs to their up their tongues. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Gamar Ba'askra Meis. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, no, they died of askra. You don't need to make up new things that they died from. Askra is the traditional worst way to die. The Gemara Masech Brachos says that askra is the most awful of deaths, and askra is something that is a death that you find people get for speaking, for not being nice to each other. So for speaking Lashon Hara, it makes sense that they would die from askra, right? The Yud Beis Zugos Talmid Rabbi Akiva died from askara, the Gemara tells us. So askara is this awful, awful death. Now, what's the story with the tongues going this way, that way, and the worms going back and forth? So the Iyun Yaakov points out it's Mida Keneged Mida. They sinned with their tongues because they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is B'tibura Shel Olam. It's the focal point of the world, and therefore it was both parts of both of those parts of their body were involved in the Onesh. The Rif on the Iyun Yaakov says that it's being Merames. That Kodesh Baruch Hu being Rami to them, that they would have been better off never having been born. That had they stayed in the womb and been sustained by the belly button, been sustained by the umbilical cord, So the thing about a baby is that that he gets his mezonos is taken care of from his belly button, but he can't speak. He can't open his mouth. Right? It's one of the miracles Gemara Nida describes when a baby is born, is that when now his mouth is able to open, he's able to emit a sound. So that was the Mita Keneged Mita was telling them. That was the message, rather, of the Onesh, that you would have been better off. It's Noach Lo Shelo Nivra, right? That's what the Gemara says. There's a machlokas whether Noach Lo Shelo Nivra, Noach Lo Shelo Nivra. Are we better off being born or not being born? And the Gemara's conclusion is, if you're not a tzaddik, you're better off not being born. And therefore, they're being told over here, you guys lost it. You were tzaddikim, and you're no longer, and therefore, you're better off never having been born. So now, we go back to the description of crossing the Yarden, right? How did we get into the Meraglim? Because we described when they were crossing the Yarden that they picked up these very heavy rocks, and we described the weight of those rocks, and we said, oh, and you should know that there's a 3-to-1 ratio of how heavy a rock you could pick up, you could deadlift, versus how heavy a rock someone could pile onto your shoulders. And we see, so think about the Meraglim and the cluster of grapes that it took 8 Meraglim to hold when they were helping each other, and that brought us into the whole discussion of the Meraglim. But the real agenda over here was to talk about the Yarden. So V'kiv inshallah achron shabi yisol min ha-Yarden, when the last Jew was able to get through the Yarden, chazur mayim l'mekomen, the water went back to raging as it normally did. Shenemar v'yihi kalos ha-kohanim nosei aron bris Hashem mitoch ha-Yarden, nitku kapos ragli ha-kohanim el ha-charava, v'yashuvu vayashuvu mei ha-Yarden l'mekomen, v'yelchu kitmol shel shom al kol gedosav, that the Yarden went back to full, to its full force. Nimtza Aron v'nosav v'kohanim mitzad echad. There's a girsa over here that makes sense to change. The Ein Yaakov says, not Aron v'nosav v'kohanim, Aron v'nosav ha-kohanim. Meaning we find that there were kohanim. This is one of the three places, as we saw, that the kohanim were carrying the Aron, but it doesn't mean every kohen was carrying the Aron. There were some kohanim that were carrying the Aron. So what happened was that the Aron and the kohanim carrying it put their foot in the Yarden, and then the Yarden stopped flowing, and it piled up tilei tilim. All these the wall went high up. How high up? We had that machlokas about how high it was. Kol machi mizrach hamarav. We're able to see it. And then everyone went through, but the kohanim stayed there, right at the east bank of the river. They stayed right there where they were, and everyone went through. When everyone went through on the other side, everyone was on the west side, they then took one step back. And then the Yarden went back to the way it was, right? So that's so they were all on one side. So the kohanim and the Aron were on one side, and all the people were already on the other side. You saw mitzad echad. So nasa Aron, as nosa, the Aron then lifted up those who were carrying it, va'avar, and then brought them to the western side of the Yarden. Shnemer vayikash etam kalam lavar vayavar Aron Hashem va'kohanim lifnei am. That when everyone had gone through, so then the Aron Hashem and the kohanim went lifnei am, by the Aron lifting them and flying them over the Yarden. And it's about that that Uzzah was punished. In Amra, because the Pasuk says in Divrei Yamim, Vayavo ad Gorin Kidon, Vayishlach Uzzah es Yado Lechos Aron, that when David was bringing the Aron from Kiryas Yarim on a wagon the Uzzah went to go grab the Aron, because he saw that it was slipping, he saw that it was shaking. So Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Uzzah, Nosav Nasa, Atzmo Lokolshkein. He said to Uzzah, you should have made a Kal V'chomer, that if the Aron had the Koach to lift those who were carrying it, you don't think it could lift itself? You don't think it's able to lift itself? Someone just sent me this morning, for Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein, quotes Rav Kook, that Rav Kook said, because Uzzah didn't make this Kal V'chomer, he deserves to, the Gemara is going to say that had it not been that he was touching the Aron, he maybe doesn't deserve Olam Haba. Like, this is something that's so terrible, he deserves to die for something like that. So he said, no, it's symbolic. That why is it that the Aron was slipping? It's because the oxen that were carrying it were tripping. So there are two ways to fix it. You could fix the Aron, or you could fix the oxen and make the stand the oxen up straight. He said, and that's symbolic of what often happens, is that very often there's a slipping in the Torah because of those who are carrying the Torah. And a lot of times we look to fix the Torah itself rather than fix those who are carrying the Torah, those who are responsible for learning the Torah and observing the Torah. And that was the sin of Uzzah. Anyway, Vayicharaf Hashem b'Uzzah v'yakeu sham al hashal, that Uzzah was punished and he was Hashem smote him al hashal v'yom Hashem, and he died there. The pasuk continues. So Rabbi Yochanan Blazer, what does it mean hashal? Chad amar liske shalu, that it means that he made a shogeg, he made a mistake, he made an error by not making this kal v'chomer. V'chad amar sha'asat tzrachav b'fadav. The other one said no, he relieved himself in front of the Aron. That shalom means something that drops down, so he had droppings in front of the Aron by relieving himself. So in the Sefer Kerem Nata, he says it doesn't mean that he purposely relieved himself in front of the Aron, that he treated it like Bal Pa'or or something. That's not what he did over here. No, the Gemara Megillah Daf Tezvav says Vatischalchel Amalka, and the Gemara Darshins that she was so terrified Shehutzruchal Nikveha, that sometimes a person is so terrified that they lose control of their faculties. And he was so scared that the Aron was going to fall that he relieved himself, that he lost control of his faculties. That's what it means over here. But you shouldn't be so scared for the Aron. You have to have confidence that the Aron's going to make it, because the Aron is the one that was noseas nosav. So now the Gemara continues to darshan. Vayam Hashem im Aron Elokim. And he died over there with the Aron Elokim. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Uzza bali Olam Haba, that even though Uzza sinned, he still merits to go into Olam Haba. Shenemar im Aron Elokim ma Aron Yolam Kayim. Just like the Aron is always going to be around, because we find Yoshio HaMelech was Gonez the Aron, but the Aron is always there. It's in Geniza somewhere. It's Machlokas in Chazal, whether it was in Geniza on the Makom HaMikdash somewhere deep down in a tunnel that was dug out for that purpose, and it's Nignas there, or it's Nignas somewhere, it was already taken by our enemies, and it's Nignas somewhere else, but the Aron was Nignas. So just like the Aron is always around, so too Af Uzzah bal Olam Haba. So Uzzah is going to, continues to live in Olam Haba. Ve'yichal David Asher Paritz Hashem Peretz BeUzzah. So David got angry. So Amar Blazar Shenishtanu Panav Kecharara. When it says Ve'yichar, it means that his face turned black like the blackened bottom of a pot. Says Gemara Elameata Kol Heichad Chesiv Ve'yichar Hachinami. Is that what the word Ve'yichar always means? That there's a change in a person's complexion? Well, Hasim. So is that possible to say such a thing? Wherever it says Ve'yichar, but we find such a lashon by Hashem that Hashem is Ve'yichar. So it can't be by Hashem that it's Shinui Panim. Hashem doesn't change. So no, Hasum Ksiv Af, Hachalok Ksiv Af. It can't be that every time it says Vayichar, it's that when all the places that it describes Hashem getting angry, it says Af. So Af doesn't mean a change of complexion. It means that there's anger. Whereas by David, it didn't say Af, and that's why we darshan the change of complexion. Darash Rav Meiman Nenash David. Why was David punished to the extent that Uzzah died on his account? Meneshakarul Divrei Torah Zemiros. Because David also didn't respect Torah properly, but not by trying to hold the Aron. He didn't respect Torah properly by referring to the Divrei Torah as Zemiros. Shenemar Zemiros Hayuli Chukecha Beves Megurai. That when I was running away from my enemies, so your laws, the Torah itself, were Zemiros for me. That's what kept me going. That's what brought me joy. So Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Divrei Torah Shekasben Hasa'if Einecha Bo Ve'einenu, the Divrei Torah about which we say that if a person closes his eyes from them and is Mashiach Das from them, then they're forgotten from him in a moment. And Ata Koryos and Zmiros, and you teach, you call them Zmiros. I mean, you know what it takes to accomplish some learning? You know how much dedication and work and effort? You can't minimize it by calling it like a song. So I'm going to cause you to be nichshal in something that every child knows, and that is that when you carry the Aron, it needs to be carried on people's shoulders and not on a wagon. Because the pasuk says by the Bnei Kos Lo Nasan Ki Avodas Hakodesh, that the Bnei Kos weren't given any wagons because their job was to carry the Aron. Moshe Rabbeinu gave wagons to all the Levim who were carrying the Mishkan and the Kalev, but the Bnei Kos who carried the Aron and the Shulchan were not given agalos because they had to carry those things. Bakasef, the Rambam Paskins, it says Halacha Ledoros in Ilchus Klei Mikdash Perek Beis Halacha Yud Beis, that when you carry the Aron Makom Lemakom, Ein Malichnas Olal Gabebeim Avolal Agalos, it's mitzvah the Nota Alakasef that you have to carry it by the shoulders. So the Iu. Aisei Bagalta, and David had it going on an Agala. So that's what that was. That's what he forgot that caused this whole thing with Uzzah, that Uzzah ended up dying. So now, once the Gemara darshins the Maisa with Uzzah, which was when they brought the Aron from Kiryas Yarim, so Gemara darshins the Pesukim that talks about bringing the Aron, when the Aron came back from the Plishtim after it caused all sorts of tzaras to the Plishtim. So V'yachma Anshei Beit Shemesh, Kiro Baron. So the Anshei Beit Shemesh were smitten because they saw the Aron. Mishum Ta'aru V'yach, but because they saw the Aron, they looked at the Aron that was coming, so they died because of that. So Rabbi Yavav, Rabbi Lozer, Chad Amar, one opinion says that Kotzer Mishtachavim Hayu, that they continued doing their work even as they were Mishtachavim to the Aron. And that itself is disrespectful. Meaning when you are acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're acknowledging the Aron, it means that you give your full attention. That's why there's Halacha Pesuk in Shulchan Aruch. We discussed last night, we discovered that when you're saying a bracha, you're not allowed to be doing even a davar kal, even something that's mindless, that doesn't just any physical activity at all, even if it's totally mindless, is also when you're saying a bracha. As the Shulchan Aruch paskins that when someone is saying Kaddish, you're not even allowed to fold your talis. I could listen to the Kaddish just as well, if not better than I normally listen to, if I occupy my hands folding my talis. No, but it shows a lack of respect for the... So that's this idea that Kotzer Mishtachavim Hayu, that they continued to do their Ketzira. They knew how to do Ketzira. It didn't take much mental energy to do their Ketzira. But still, that's considered disrespectful. And others say that they said things. Who got you angry that you got angry? You didn't save yourself. And what made you change your mind now, Aaron, that you decided to come back? So they spoke disrespectfully about the Aron. And 70,000 plus 50,000 people died. So Rabbi Vav, Rabbi Lazar, Chadamer, that's not the actual number. Chadamer, 70 ish hayu, v'kalechad ve'echad, shakul chamishim elef. It was 70 people, but each one in their tzidkus was like 50,000. Chadamer, chamishim elef hayu, v'kalechad ve'echad, shakul k'shivim Sanhedrin. That it was 50,000 people, but each of them were shakul like the Sanhedrin itself. The pasuk says, v'yiki tzar, when David Abel finally actually brought the Aron back, so it says that they brought these karbanos. They brought a shor umri, which is a fattened shor. Uksiv, and the pasuk in Devarim Yom says shiva parim v'shiva elim. So it's a stira. How many karbanos did they bring? Samra Pab Bar Shmuel a kol psia psia, for every step they took that they from Beis Oved to the Ir David, where they were bringing the Aron back to shor umri. They shechted a shor and umri. A kol sheish v'sheish psios, but for every six steps they took shiva parim v'shiva elim. It was seven parim and seven elim. So I'm later of chista imkay. That's crazy. That's a crazy amount of animals. The whole Eretz Yisrael would be full of bamos. Elam Rav Chisla, you have to say no. It's a little less than that. Al kol sheish v'sheish psios sharumri. For every six steps, it was a sharumri. Al kol shisha sidarim shal sheish psios. In every six sets of six steps, shiva parim v'shiva elim. It was shiva parim and shiva elim. Ksiv kidon. It says in Devarim Yomim that they got to kidon. Uksiv and Shmuel says nachon. Why does the Navi call the place one time Kidon, one time Nachon? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, B'tchila Kidon, it's a description of the Aron, that the Aron was like a weapon, that Uzzah died from it, but after it stayed in the house of Ovid Edom Agiti, and Ovid Edom's house was very blessed by it, his wife and all of his eight daughters-in-law had Shisha Bekeres Echad, all gave birth to six children at a time. That's quite an expansion of the family in 3 months' time that the Aron was in his house. So Nachon, so it's called Nachon, that it had this positive impact. So Nimtzei Satomer Shloshamine Avanim Hayu. So the Brisa continues that we see based on the Pesukim that there were three stones, sets of stones. Echad Sheik Moshe Be'eretz Moav, one that Moshe Rabbeinu set up in Eretz Moav when they reviewed the Torah in Shivim Lashon. Shneimar Be'ever Yadin Be'eretz Moav Hol Moshe Be'er and La'alan, and later on when Moshe told Yoshua and Bnei Yisrael that they should set up stones in our so we say, just like in our Grizim, it says by the Avanim that they set up, so to the Be'er by Moshe, when it says Be'er by Moshe, it must have also meant stones that were set up. Then there was another set of stones that Yoshua set up in the Yarden, which we already discussed, those stones that were set up as a Zikaron for future generations. Ve'echad sheikim ba'Gilgal. And one set of stones that Yeshua set up in Gilgal, shnemer v'shtem esrei avanim ha'ele asher lachu. So, Tanur Rabbanan, ketzad kasvi Yisrael as ha-Torah? How did Klal Yisrael write the entirety of Torah on the Mizbech? Meaning, not how did they manage to do it? It may have been a nace that they were able to write in 70 languages, but what did it look like? Where did they write it exactly? So, Yudomar al gabe avanim ksavuha. They wrote it on stones directly. Shnemer v'ksavta al avanim is called the Birat HaRazos. Va'achar kach sadu asan besilha. And then they covered those stones with plaster. So, Amar Rabbi Shimon responded, Lidvar Recha, according to you, that they then covered all the writing with plaster. How did the Umos HaOlam of that time learn Torah? Meaning the whole point was that they were supposed to learn from it. So Amalo, he said, Bina Yaseiru Nasam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a Bina Yaseiru V'shigru Notirin Shalahen. And they sent their Sofrim V'kilpu HaSasid V'yisi'uha. And they were able to peel off that layer of plaster. V'aldavrza Nechtam Gzardinim. But it's because of that they had access to the Torah, that Nechtam Gzardinim V'ershachas, that they ultimately fell into a Bereshachas. Shailen Lilmod V'lolamdu. They should have learned and they didn't learn. Rabbi Shimon Omer al gabi sid kosvua. That no, they wrote it directly on the plaster because of len lamata, and they wrote to the Sheva Umos that were in Chutz Laretz under the Torah that was written on these avanim, the parsha that it says of losachaya kal neshama and ki achreim tachrimem and lamana sheyilamdu eschem lasos kichol. The reason we have to destroy all the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael is because otherwise they're going to teach us all of their evil ways. So they were showing the Umos haolam from everywhere. That if you're not the type of people that are going to teach us to do evil, and you're chozer b'tshuva, then we have no mandate to hurt you or to harm you. There's not going to be a lo sechaya kol neshama. So they were given that warning in that form. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rav about 5-6 lines from the end of the page. Everyone have a great day.